Michael, thank you. You do such a great job for us. You're such a blessing. We appreciate you. Give Michael a hand. Just let him know how much we appreciate him. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 9. We'll read verses 11 and 12. We have it for you on the PowerPoint overhead as well. Hebrews 9, 11 through 12. Atonement through the blood, or also a phrase I like to say, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Begin with verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And then verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without shedding of blood, there's no remission. A gospel without the Bible doctrine of the atonement by the blood of Jesus is not a real gospel. Without this doctrine, Christianity just becomes the devil's substitute. Satan's greatest enemy is the blood of Jesus Christ. If the devil had his way, no man would ever stand and preach on the atonement through the blood of Jesus Christ. Satan whispers. He whispers that folks can be saved through good works. Folks can be saved by just being a good person and doing their best. But he is eternally wrong. The only way that anyone can be saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ. In our secular progressive society today, there are many men, ministers around America and around the world, and they avoid teaching or preaching on the atonement by avoiding mentioning the blood. They don't want to talk about the blood. Oh, they'll magnify the life of Christ. They'll talk about his teachings. They'll talk about his character. But they'll leave out his death. They'll never mention the blood of Christ. They won't mention Christ crucified. Oh, they'll talk about the importance of the golden rule and the Beatitudes and the power of Christ's love. But they do all of that without ever speaking about the blood of Jesus. And they're wrong. They're wrong when they preach, when they hold church, when they leave out that it is only through the blood that we come in that right relationship back to our Creator and our Heavenly Father. Without that shed blood, we would all be lost. None of us would be in right standing without God. It's blood of His Son being shed. That's the hope that we have today as Christians. We must reject the drift in churches to move away from the teaching and preaching on the atonement through the blood of Christ. And this morning, as we'll be taking of Holy Communion following this sermon, let us be thanking God this morning. The one who came down from heaven, His Son. We give thanks to God for sending His Son. He came down from glory. He lived a sinless life. Jesus bore our sins on the cross. And on that cross, He poured out His blood that you and I might have eternal life, that we might live forever. As I've stood at the graves the last few weeks of Brother Steve Warren and this past Friday of Brother Eugene Burton, I preached that without knowing Christ and His shed blood, there is no hope. There is no eternal life. There is no heaven. There is no reunion. All of that is coming to us as believers today because of the shed blood of Jesus. So today we examine three important points this morning. Number one, the necessity and importance of Christ's death and shedding of blood. The purpose of the shedding of His blood and the results of His shedding of His blood. So we see this first point, the necessity. His death is mentioned more than 175 times in the New Testament. There is more about His death and His blood in the four Gospels than anything else in those Gospels. Think about it. If you were to cut out the reference in the Bible to His shed blood, you'd have a Bible without a heart and a gospel without saving power. It would just be noise. It would just be words. It would have no power to it. Jesus became a man on this earth in the flesh for the specific purpose of dying for us. He came for that purpose. He was born to die. In Hebrews, in the second chapter, verse 14, the Bible says that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. His death, Christ's death, is central to the theme of heaven's song. You know, heaven's got a special theme song. Now, when those folks up in heaven, when they go to heaven, they're no longer singing, "Shall we gather at the river," because they're already there, aren't they? They're no more singing anymore. They're not singing that old song in the sweet by and by, because they're living it. They're right there. They're living it. They don't sing, "Won't it be wonderful there," because they're enjoying it right then. No, they're singing heaven's song. You probably say, "Well, what is heaven's song?" Heaven's song is found in Revelation 5 and 12. It says that 1,000 times 10,000 are singing. And these are the words that they're singing. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." That's heaven's song. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." That's our song today. He's worthy. Oh yes, the song in heaven. The song in heaven is about the atoning death and the blood of our Savior Jesus. The text in Hebrews tells us, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption." Without the shedding of blood, the Bible goes on to say in that verse 22 that we read, there is no remission. We sing that old song, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Takes us to the second point today. And what's the purpose? The purpose of the death and the shed blood of Jesus. We looked at the necessity. What about the purpose? He died, according to the Bible, He died as a vicarious offering for our sin. Vicarious, the dictionary tells us, vicarious suffering. Vicarious means that suffering in the place of another. He took our place on that cross. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, the Bible says, "But He was wounded for our transgressions." He was wounded for us, for our transgressions. It says He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we are healed. He died also as a ransom. The Bible says He died as a ransom for many in Matthew 20 and 28. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom." A ransom for many. We know what a ransom is. A rich man's son is kidnapped and held for a ransom of money to be paid, not going to be released until the ransom has been paid. Jesus died to pay the ransom for us, to redeem us from the hold of sin, to pay the price so that we would no longer be held by the power of the sin and the law. That's the ransom that Jesus paid for you and me. Oh, He died to redeem us. Aren't you thankful for that redemption? That He paid that ransom. He also died, the Bible tells us, as a sin offering. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. "You make His soul an offering from sin." His soul was made out as an offering for our sins. Our scripture text in Hebrews reminds us, without that shedding of blood, there's no remission. His shedding of blood was necessary to cleanse us. He died to redeem us also from the curse of the law. Let me ask you, is there anybody in this room that has always kept the law, the very perfect letter of the law. Is there anybody in this room who has kept the law perfectly? Is there anybody in this room that has kept the Ten Commandments perfectly without any exceptions whatsoever? We know that the answer is no, there's nobody in this room. Jesus was the only sinless one ever on this earth. The Bible tells us that we are all guilty. All of us are guilty. And our hearts condemn us. And we live under the curse of a broken law. But Jesus looked down with His Heavenly Father. He looked down upon us. And He looked down and He became, out of His love for us, He became a curse for us, according to what the Bible tells us. Scripture says, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Jesus hung on that tree. He hung on that cross. His death redeemed us from the death that we deserved. He died as our Passover sacrifice, our Passover lamb, so to speak. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for even Christ our Passover, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. You may remember the story of the Passover event in Egypt. The death angel was to take the life of the firstborn of every family, of every home, where there was no blood upon the doorpost. Well, the children of Israel understood what they had to do. They took the blood of a lamb and they put it over the lintel, the doorpost of their home. And when the death angel saw the blood, he passed over that fortunate, blessed home. It's the blood of Jesus. There's just one way for God to pass over us, so to speak. Because when He sees the blood, when He sees the blood of Christ applied to our life, we're no longer condemned. We're no longer under the curse of sin. We're no longer separated from God. And He passes over us. And death is not our case and not our lot, because we have eternal life. We're going to live forever because of the blood of Jesus. It's the blood. It's the blood on your doorpost of your soul. It's the blood of Christ over the doorpost of your life. The sacrifice has been made. But it's up to us, isn't it? It's up to us to get under the blood. Sherry's grandfather, her granddad Skinner, I've shared this story. I never heard that praying before. We were leaving, her brother and I were leaving to go to Kansas City with Sherry's grandparents. And we were 15 years old. It was a great adventure because we were going to get to take the train back to Dallas by ourselves. Well, that was a big deal for a couple of 15-year-old kids. But I can remember as we left Sherry's driveway that day, as we're about to leave, Sherry's granddad says, let's gather around the car. We're going to pray for God's protection as we travel. And we all gather and we're holding hands. Her granddad begins to plead the blood of Jesus. I had not heard that prayer like that before. He said, I plead the blood of Jesus over this car, over us as we travel. I plead the blood for protection and safety. And I can still see him, tears running down the face. He was so sincere, so full of the Spirit as he prayed that day. I plead the blood. Oh, Jesus says in that old song, we say it too, don't we? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, that's a great song. It's a great reminder. When we looked at the purpose, we've looked at the necessity of His death and the shedding of His blood. Let's finish today by examining the results of His atoning death. The word propitiate, you've heard that word, it's in Scripture. The word propitiate means to render favorable. To render favorable. So we're told in 1 John 2 and 2, speaking of Jesus, and He is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That means that God's mercy, God's grace, not His judgment, is rendered to us because of the blood of Jesus, rendered us favorable unto God. He looks down and we're rendered favorable by the propitiation of Christ and His blood. We attain resurrection from the dead through the atoning blood of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. It's that coffin sits there of a loved one, if that loved one has known Christ as their Savior, remember that verse, because it says that we shall all be made alive. It's not the end. That's not the final step. There's another step, hallelujah, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we've been made alive. We have eternal life. The Bible tells us that every person on this earth is going to have a resurrection. Everyone's going to have a resurrection. You're going to either have a resurrection to eternal life, or you're going to have a resurrection to judgment and eternal torment in hell forever. But every person is going to have a resurrection. What will your resurrection be? Will it be a resurrection to eternal life? Well, I pray it will be. All believers have forgiveness of sin because of His atoning death. Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. A preacher was speaking to a dying woman. And as he talked to her, he asked her this question. He said, have you made peace with your God? And she answered, she said, no. And the preacher looked at her and said, don't you realize that you're dying? And that soon you're going to be face to face with God to give an account of your life? And she looked at the preacher and she said, yes. She said, but I'm not disturbed about it one bit. I don't have to make peace with God because I know that my Jesus, my Savior, has made that peace for me on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. I am simply resting in the peace that Christ has already made for me. Let me tell you, are you resting in that peace He's made for you? We don't have to worry about making peace with God. When we trust in Jesus, we are resting in His peace. All believers are justified and can go boldly into the presence of God because of the shed blood of Jesus and His death. In Romans 5 and 9, the Bible tells us, being now justified by His blood. Justification, that makes us as if we had never sinned. Just as if we had never done anything wrong or sinful. Just as if we are perfect and holy because the perfection and holiness and righteousness of Jesus is imparted to us. We put our faith, we put our trust in Him. We're justified. You know, there was a time when man couldn't enter into the presence of God. Only the high priest could even go into the Holy of Holies with certain steps and things that he had to do. But when Christ died on the cross, the Bible says the veil in the temple was ripped from top to bottom, meaning it was by the hand of God, not by man. It was symbolic of our new ability to boldly go into the presence of God, no longer separated by sin. And we cry, as the Bible says, Abba, Father. We pour our hearts out to our Creator, our Heavenly Father. We come into His presence because of Christ's wonderful shed blood for us. And because of the death and the shedding of blood of Jesus on the cross, one of the other results is that all believers will live with Him forever. Forever. If it weren't for His blood, we would never know the wonderful hope that all believers have of heaven. That old song says, when He shall come with trumpet sound, oh my, I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. We'll never be good enough unless we're dressed in the righteousness of Jesus. It'll never happen unless we accept that atoning work of Christ on the cross for our sins. Let me ask you this question. What does the blood of Christ mean to you this morning? What does it mean to you? Are you His? Are you under His blood? If not, you can come right now this morning. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll wash you white as snow. He'll give you His hope. He'll give you His love. He'll give you the promise of heaven. He'll give you a joy in your heart. And you'll have eternal life if you just trust in Him. The process in a paper mill of making paper is really amazing. It all begins when a bunch of dirty logs are thrown into a machine. And that machine begins to tear them apart and crush them bit by bit. these big giant teeth of the machinery. And then there's a filthy brown juice that begins to flow out of all this activity in this machine. And it flows from one vat to another in the process of making the paper. Well, as this stream flows from vat to vat, various chemicals are poured into it. And soon you'll notice that that stream is becoming whiter and whiter. And pretty soon, all the impurities are taken out, and the juice is becoming solidified, and it's as white as you can imagine, and soon it's rolling along all these rollers and coming out the other end as smooth, pure, white paper. What a miracle of science it is to see that old dirty juice turn into that beautiful white paper. But that's exactly what the blood of Jesus does for us, isn't it? It's exactly what it does. It takes all the filth from the world out of us. It takes all the sin that was in us out of us. And by this incredible miracle of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, what began as dirty, what began as unclean, becomes a soul that is washed white as snow by the blood of the Lamb. I preach Christ to you today. He can take your life over. He can make you set your feet on a rock. He can give you strength. He can leave you in the pathway of peace and righteousness if you put your faith and you put your hope and your trust in Him. He can also give you comfort. He can give you a peace in the midst of the anxiety and the fear. He can give you a sense of purpose for your life and a sense of meaning for every day. He can replace the emptiness that you often feel. He'll put hope in your heart. He'll put a spring in your step. He'll do all these things if you're born again, if you put your trust in Him, if you believe in Him. He has transformed millions by His blood. Oh, by the precious blood of Jesus, He has carried multitudes to glory, spotless and clean. He wants to do the same thing for all of us today. If we'll let Him, if you'll trust Him, if you put your life in His hands and believe on Christ and His shed blood for the redemption of your sins, and the hope of heaven will be yours. Would you bow your heads with me today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your shed blood of your Son. I thank you, Jesus, for your obedience to the Father. I thank you, Christ, for what you endured for us. Today we partake of Holy Communion. Lord, let us not just go through the motions of the cup and the bread. Let us stop and give thanks for the power, the cleansing of the blood of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you today. We thank you. May your Holy Spirit remind us again and again of your sacrifice. For without your shed blood, there is no hope for man. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.